As far as the no fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other cool and interesting people of color. I'm Athier.
I'm Amama.
And today we had Gordon Baker Bone, comedian, friend, podcaster, just a hilarious guy. So sweet. It's such a good chat to have with him. And
yeah. Great guy overall.
He's got a podcast that we talked about called Period Piece.
Yes, it's so funny. He talks about periods as a dude.
Ladies, you want to date this guy? He keeps track of your period. Not just to see like what mood you might be in, but maybe also he's a great listener. when we talked about like, why do you have a period podcast? Because it's the question on everybody's mind when they hear like, why does this man have a period podcast? But he is just a really like cool dude that likes to listen to women. What? One in a million. And we just had like a really awesome chat with him.
Yes, he's so wonderful. It was such a fun episode. Also, like Gordon's like, he has such good energy. Again, yeah. For hot girl summer, everyone try to date Gordon. This is our
deal. Seriously. Or maybe like after the summer when you've like gone through your hot girl shit and you're like, everyone here sucks. Let me go for a nice, attractive, cool, funny dude who's actually like not a piece of shit.
Yes.
Then head up Gordon.
Exactly.
I'm sure you'd really love us like pimping him out on the podcast, but hey, why not?
Yeah.
If you're going to have a period podcast, this is what's going to happen.
Exactly.
But I'm so excited for you guys to hear him. I really just felt like he was someone that's super easy to talk to and just a cool guy. And you could tell like he's someone who really like appreciates people. He connects with people really well. We were talking about like dating outside of our race and our families. And he comes from a very like multicultural family, which is really cool. Talked about him dating brown women.
Yes, that's why, again, we're just going to keep plugging that you should just date.
Yeah, all the perfect guests for the no-fly list, basically. But before we get to his episode, we're going to get to our first segment called the No-Fly List, No-Fly List. And this is a segment where we put people who we think should be on our shit list, people who we don't think should fly instead of innocent brown people like ourselves. So, Amama, this week, I know we talked about it a little bit before. Do you want to tell our listeners who is on the no-fly list?
Israel.
Boom! Should have been on there forever. As a Palestinian, they are eternally in my heart on the no-fly list. And yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't come up before. I mean, there's always some horrible war crime or human crime.
Yeah.
That's happening.
It's so, well, and like you could speak way more to this, but yeah, they definitely deserve to be on it, especially what's happening right now. They're like displacing Palestinians. Our tax dollars are paying for it. It's a whole
billions,
fucked up
thing. Guys. America also should be on the no-fly list. I'm pretty sure it is, but they're also supporting Israel with like over $3.5 billion a year of our tax money. So right now what's going on, a neighborhood in East Jerusalem that is predominantly Palestinian and by international law belongs to Palestinians, they are being displaced by settlers who are literally coming in, taking their homes. There's videos of them. The neighborhood's called Sheikh Jarrah, so you might see like some, there's a lot of hashtags and things going on right now on social media. Everyone knows how to spell Sheikh Jarrah, right? All of our no-fly listers. We have some brown folks on there who actually know what's going on. But it's really horrific. But you guys, the problem is anytime that you criticize Israel, then you get people who are like, well, you can't that's anti-Semitic and you're criticizing Jewish people. I'm like, no. Those are two completely different things. Jewish people and Zionist people, totally different things than people who support Israel and people who support the occupation and people coming in and literally stealing like these like families' homes. There's videos of them just talking to settlers in their backyard being like, don't steal my house. And the settler's like, don't talk to me. If I don't steal it, someone else will steal it. That was literally what the conversations have. There's video footage of it. There's young kids getting arrested for protesting. It's absolutely crazy. And unfortunately, like watching that, I'm like, this is nothing new. This is how the Israel came about, by the expansion, like slowly displacing Palestinians. And not slowly, really, but now it's like the expansion happens so much that people don't really even like pay attention to it because it's just another thing.
But yeah. It's like, it's so fucked up. And like, I didn't even know about this until like last week. So like, if brown people are like slowly catching up to it, like white leftist liberals are definitely slowly.
Yeah, me too. I've had like Palestinian friends text me, be like, hey, do you know what's going on in Palestine? I'm like, yeah, like one of my cousins is a journalist and activist on the ground there. So I will see like her tweets and her like on Instagram and stuff. So she follows everything closely and takes like videos and uploads and like, so definitely you guys like fuck Israel first of all, put them on the no-fly list. And please like try to, you know, just make yourselves aware, if anything. I think that's the problem, is like Palestinians get this, we sort of can't really even defend ourselves without someone attacking us. We can't even defend our basic human rights without someone saying, oh no, you're just being anti-Israel, anti-Semitic or something, because the amount of support that Israel has is unreal, especially from our government. So both of governments definitely belong.
Exactly. And people are like, oh my God, like you're racist if you don't support. But it's like, no, that's not true.
Yeah, it is a racist country built on, you know, they only allow Jewish citizens, even when there's Arabs who are Muslim and Christian living in the neighborhood. So this is not just a Muslim-Jewish thing at all. There are a lot of Christians that live in Palestine and the West Bank and in Jerusalem, everywhere. So inform yourselves, people, and that's really all I want. It's just people, like, make a decision, inform yourselves, ask questions. But don't just automatically like assume and just throw out these like, you know, buzzwords like, oh, you're anti-Semitic or whatever, when you don't actually know anything that's going on. Also, we're Semites, bitches. I am Semitic.
That's true.
That is the other thing. Have you seen my face? Okay. But before we get to, we're going to get to Gordon's episode, I just want to say that I finally got to see Amama in her element last night. We went for ladies' night out, had some drinks, went to a couple of bars.
That's why my voice sounds the way it sounds. There's not a night where I go out to my favorite bar and I bring people where I either don't try to like give someone my number or fight with a good guy friend.
I will say it was very entertaining to watch. We were like, it was us and a few other like comedy gals, and we were just like watching you, and we're like, okay, let's see it in action. What's happening? How do you approach a man?
But I literally, one of our friends was like, he's cute, what's his deal? And I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, hey, what's up? And then I just like brought him over to her.
Do you remember when you pushed us away when he went to the bathroom and me and Katie like walked over to see what was going on? And then he came back and it was so funny. You're like, go away, he's here.
I don't remember any of that. It's so funny. He's actually like one of the guys, I have a walkie-talkie with him. I should actually, which again, this is like insane, but I need to like figure out what I said. One of the bartenders called me at 6 o'clock in the morning because they had just gotten out. And he was just like,
and they're like, come by for a nightcap or a morning cap.
No, he was like, what time is your show? And I was like, you are not coming to my show that like you're going to be asleep at. And he was just like, all right, just calling to apologize, because we both like to, the last few times we just like to yell at each other. But I'm glad that everyone had fun. A bunch of people kept texting me to be like, oh, like organize like a ladies thing. And I was like, sure. As always, men interrupted.
A bunch of men tried to join us.
By a bunch of men, specifically like two former guest and my like brother, basically, Dan Yang.
Yeah.
He's like a little brother who was like, well, can I hang out with you and your friends? And I was like, no, not today.
It was so funny. But it was a really good night. Yeah, stay hydrated today. Good luck. And to everyone else, thanks for listening and enjoy Gordon Baker Bone. Welcome, Gordon.
Hey,
I can't remember where I met you, how I met you, but I know we've met or I've seen you before. And you're dope.
Probably in the city somewhere.
Yeah.
Also, I just, we saw each other, I think, before the world, everyone saw each other before the world shut down. But yep. I love all your Twitter stuff too. And we were talking about your period podcast.
Oh my God. Yeah. I want to hear all about this.
I was no joke when you first posted it. And Athea said this too. She was like, is this like a joke? Is this just like making fun of like
women's period? I was like, are we getting roasted on here? What's happening?
I wanted to do it for about, I would say 3 years now. I wanted to do the podcast. Because a lot of dudes that are friends of mine, they just didn't understand how I could have lady friends without having sexual contact with them. So I lived with my best friend, Christine, for a little while. I lived with a couple of ladies who are friends of mine. And people always think that it's always sexual. And I'm like, nah, it's not. And we just talked about shit. And then like one of my friends was like, yeah, I bet you guys talk about periods. And I was like, you know what? It's funny. I never even brought it up. So I started talking with my friends about their periods and started interviewing them about it. And it's freaking so many guys out. And
I bet.
Oh, yeah. This one guy just was like, he was like, I don't get it. Where's the joke? I'm like, we're just sitting there chopping it up, learning about menstruations.
Oh, my God. And what have you learned?
Yeah, what have you learned? This is a quiz now.
I've learned it's very cultural. Everybody learns different things from or about the periods and like what they use based on cultural backgrounds. I had interviewed Katie Boyle, who's from Ireland.
Oh, yeah, we love Katie.
She's dope as hell. She was telling me about like what it's like to like use tampons in Ireland, how some women don't want to use tampons.
We can get into it with the Muslim thing. With
yeah,
I used to have a joke about tampons and Muslim. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're like, it's gonna take your virginity.
Yeah, yes. And I'm like, what is it like? They're afraid that it's gonna be like a gateway penis or something like this.
A lot of people believe that. A lot of like ladies believe that. A lot of men believe that. Still, also.
By the way, I've still never used a tampon in my life. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
I'm scared. My nurse friend tried to get me to do it.
Wait, I'll help you.
Look,
Gordon, you laugh, but like there was one time my friend was trying the Diva Cup and she's like, what if it gets stuck up there? And like me and my other friend, we were like, we'll be really good friends and we'll help you like get it out. Like there's women.
I can't. Gross, I'm scared of blood. I know that sounds crazy, but
I am too. But I think like the crazy like doctors in my family, like everyone was just so open about everything that I'm just like, all right, you know what? If I have to, I guess like I would for a friend. But yeah, tampons are great if you're exercising. I like how
even my virgin Muslim friends are like, Athea, use a tampon. I'm like, no, I can't. Only dicks.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's been eye opening about how many women don't use tampons, how many women are just terrified of using a Diva cup. And just like, there's so many products that are like being made now. Like there's this German company that just came out with, period like gloves because they believe that menstruation is like the most unnatural blood. So you don't have to touch it at all. So it's a big product and a big controversy. What,
gloves
right now.
For your period?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? So when you have to change your tampon or your pad, you can put on gloves first and then
that's insane. What? I don't who's touch okay. Wild. Ladies, how badly are your okay, maybe you just like a pad. I don't like there's no need to touch the blood. I'm bet maybe with a Diva cup or other stuff where it gets a little messy. I'm not sure. I've only used pads.
This is great though. Like Gordon, you get to like educate all of your dude friends who are probably like, yeah. Also, are you in a relationship? Because I feel like this is
I know, I was just about to ask.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, no, this is
what a great gateway of being like,
hey ladies, wanna talk about your period?
been in and out of a ton of relationships. So I learned about periods that way. Like, people found it weird that when I was in a relationship, I had a period tracker in my phone, and it helped.
Is that because you thought she was going to be a bitch to you that week, or because you some guys will be like, oh, okay, I need to know if you're going to be a little moody.
It's a little bit of both. It was for sex. It was for attitude and just to know, like, and I'll be honest with you, it was like so I could know when I could get, like, when my best chances were to get oral sex or head. Just was that. Yeah. It was good for that.
Also, the app is good to know if, because I solely just use the app to figure out when I'm ovulating. And that's when people kick inside of you.
I didn't expect to talk about this, but I will. I have for a year now, right before the pandemic, got an IUD, and it's the kind that makes your period go away, and I love it. I never want my fucking period again. I hate it. And I was like, type person was like in debilitating pain. And so now one of my friends are like, occasionally I'll cramp, like my body will still think it's about to get a period, but it doesn't. But I'm just like, let's do away with it. But also if you're into it, sure, keep it too.
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed, like, your everyday life has changed since you've gotten it? Like, you don't have to worry about certain things?
Yeah, I mean, I started birth control, just the pills, like, a few years ago, and it tremendously helped with PMS and, like, the cramping. That was my main thing. I would be, like, in sometimes, like, pain 14 hours, just, like, your body just feels like your ovaries are just, like, being, like, squeezed and churned and, like, freaking ringed out. That's how it felt, with something electrocuting you at the same time. So, yes, my quality of life has gotten better from birth control in general. The IUD is just like, every girl was like, you don't have to think about it. And I'm like, how much thought goes into taking a pill? But honestly, I had forgotten it so many times, and I'd be at a club at 10 o'clock. Like, I need water. I need to swallow my birth control. Where's and there's so many comedians that see me just take birth control in the green room. Because, and I was like, this is annoying. Because you got to take it on the dot that second, or your chances of like getting pregnant, all that, like all the efficacy of it goes down. So, yeah. I love the IUD now. I was not like a fan of the idea in the beginning, but I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I don't get to talk a lot of people with the IUD. I've only talked to one person that had the IUD, and she had it. It was my homie Tracy. She had it for a little bit, and then she took it out because she said it wasn't conducive because she had her period. It was the first episode. She said she had like a year-long period. Because it was happening every
day. She may have been. So there's a copper one. That's the one without hormones. And that actually makes your period worse. So I was like, hell no. My period was already heavy. And so I did the one, it's the opposite, Mirena, which like takes away your period. And you can wear that like 5 to 10 years. But yeah, I heard some like really irritate, like it makes your period worse. I want to talk more about the cultural part. I'm curious, Amama, if you've experienced this. I remember when I was like a late bloomer. I got my period when I was like 14 in Alabama, and I cried because I was told that the minute a woman gets her period, that's when she has to wear the hijab and it becomes accountable. That's when you become accountable for not wearing a hijab.
Oh.
And I remember old aunties in the village. One lady was like, my daughter got her period at the barbecue, went and put a scarf on her head right then and there. And I'm like, that's fucking weird. You go to the bathroom, come out hijabi. Like, because you're like, right now I'm a woman. I am now sexualized.
No,
and that fucked me up. I cried so hard about that.
I was
that.
Real excited because my mom already told me like years, like, because I got it super early. I think I was in like fourth grade. So I came home and I was like, look at me. And she was like, and all she said, she was like, now I have to spend more money on it. <'Cause I was, laughs> But like that was her only reaction.
Yeah. No one
like,
talked about the veil, the hijab. Had you heard that before?
No, like, I was just so excited. And then little did I know that in life I would have the world's worst periods constantly. So that excitement went away real quick. Gordon, this is so crazy that like you're the first dude that we just started talking
about. We've never talked about periods on this show. And of course we have.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, why? Not with,
wait,
not
why
with
not?
Men.
Why not?
I don't
do you guys date men?
Yeah.
I so, just, like, how often do you guys, like, talk about it with your partners?
Never.
Oh, I do. Because I, like, I
only if it's getting
I'm
in
like,
the way of the activities.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, okay.
Also, I, like, I don't know. I've had sex on my period. It looked, one time this guy was, like, it was, like, someone I was looking up with long term. And he was, like, no, really, I don't care. You can put a towel down. And I was like, no, you don't understand. A towel's not going to do anything. It's gonna look like you murdered me. And that's exactly.
I just put down this red curtain of mine that I use for shows, and then no one can tell the difference. just have red sheets, red silk sheets.
Yeah.
I used to date my ex was from Bangladesh. So we used that period sex, and she wanted to do it. And afterwards, she'd be like, I we never want to do that again. And then a month later, it's happening again.
Yeah.
I think it's cool you can be comfortable enough with a person. I think it depends on the situation too, because there's been situations where you're like, you know what, I don't fuck it. I don't care. Or I might not see this guy. I don't actually, or it can go either way. Someone I'm really comfortable with or someone I don't give a shit about. I'm like, let's just
do it. Yeah. Why the hell not? Like, I don't know. I feel like if I date you and I'm in a serious relationship with you, I feel like I should know these things. And if I don't know it, like, how serious can we be? Like,
yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. But in terms of, because you said, so right now you're not dating anyone.
Yep.
How do you feel about the summertime and how everyone's predicting of like the like just
a whole summer?
Fuck yes. Mm-hmm.
Everyone that I know, sorry about that. Everyone I know is preparing to have the biggest sexual awakening this summer. So it's been building up. Last summer, I don't think a lot of people were still very scared because there was no vaccine.
Yeah, it was scary. Scarier. I mean, it didn't stop a lot of people, but still.
I knew more people that went on Tinder.
Yeah.
Like, people went on Tinder and, like, they would match with somebody, and then after matching with somebody, they had to weigh whether they were going to go get tested before they met up. And they were asking people, hey, have you been tested before we meet up and do stuff like that? But this summer is definitely going to be
tested for COVID and STDs.
TSA, you guys got to get tested for STDs this summer, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. It's already happening. You see how many people got like baby bumps already? People been fucking already. This is gonna be. If you're single this summer, it's definitely gonna be a sexual awakening.
Oh and yeah, I
keep telling people that. Yeah,
it's gonna be.
I think it's the best summer to be single.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how many couples that got together during the pandemic are gonna break up. Because that's like a trend I'm slowly noticing where some people are like. Oh yeah, like we just broke up, and I'm like, hey, you guys are prepping. Get some emotional,
I saw
the breakup starts early. It's just slowly until like they're starting to put in like the groundwork, lay down the foundation for the breakup right before June 1st.
The first wave of breakups happened when the weather broke and people were going out a little bit more, and people got out of like either long term relationships or didn't like who they were locked down with, so they split. And then going into back into the winter, people settled down a little bit, either handled being single. And now this time around, it's the second wave of huge breakups. And I'm realizing it left and right. I know at least three couples that broke up and two that's getting divorced.
Wow. The divorces, like in China, I think like when last year, when like the first wave kind of like broke, they were like really in severe lockdown. There was like skyrocket of like divorces, like in those areas where like slowly things were like getting like easier for people there. And now I'm like, in America, there's some of my coworkers are like, oh, I'm so shocked I haven't killed my husband. And it's like, I'm shocked too. You took your anger out on me. That's what happened.
If you had a small apartment, you probably broke up with that person or you guys went to real serious counseling. Like I know more couples in counseling now too. Like then they're very open about it. Like, we go to counseling.
Yeah. That's a good thing too, though. I like respect any, I would go to counseling immediately if I was in a relationship.
Can I just, I was in counseling for like several months before, as my relationship was on the brink of death, like 2 years ago. And I didn't know this. Thankfully, like I have friends who are therapists that were like, hey, this is not cool. But just as a PSA for anyone, if your couples therapist is having one-on-one sessions with that partner and then withholding that information that would have like really been like completely would have made or break the relationship or would have made a difference, like that's fucked up and that's negligent on the couples therapist part. Like I definitely think she took my ex's side in some ways and like didn't tell me that he was cheating on me. and did not think that might be important information to bring up as we were about to get married. So PSA, be careful with your couples therapist to make sure you vet them. I thought she was awesome. She had a PhD from Columbia and she worked in trauma and like worked with brown communities in the Middle East who had experienced a lot of trauma and shit and PTSD. And then I think he just like his manipulation sort of like made her feel kind of sympathetic towards him and like did and withheld that information. So that's fun.
Was it like patient, doctor, client, confidential?
As a couples therapist, you should not be having individual sessions, and then you should encourage that person to share that information. She was like, no, she doesn't need to know. What she doesn't know won't hurt her.
Damn.
I mean, that's his interpretation.
Nothing is good in this world.
I think he's blaming the two of y'all.
Yeah, but I think, honestly, I don't know. I almost had a call with her after the whole thing went down just to be like, yo, lady, what the fuck? Why wouldn't you like warn a girl, like at least? But yeah, well, couples therapy can be helpful if, although, do you guys know anyone that actually like legitimately stayed together after couples therapy, or is it just the beginning of the end?
A lot of people do.
A lot of people.
Okay, so they didn't go to my therapist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Have you ever been in couples therapy?
Not couples therapy. I've been like asked. One time I accidentally went to go to a couple's therapist and I was just like, we might as well just break up.
How do you accidentally go to a couple's therapist? You're just like, you know, this is supposed to be a froyo date, but here we are.
Because I used to date people that I dated this one girl who would like impromptu ask people about our relationship, like publicly. Like we would be having an argument in public, which is a big red flag already. And then she would stop people, whether on a subway or as we're walking. Hey, if this happened in your relationship, wouldn't you break? I'm like,
that is not okay.
It's not a good way to pull. It's not good to pull people on the street of what they would do in your shoes. Also, no two circumstances are the same, and you really shouldn't be getting outside.
That's someone who loves drama and be like, see, and it's like, no, that's crazy. That's not healthy.
That used to be my like big thing. I used to love dating people that had a little bit of issues and love drama and couldn't just do the two-person thing. Just had to be like, all right, let's fight. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to do this.
You would attract that kind of person, do you think? Or did you like that?
I like that. And then I started maturing more. And then, because it did, like, at the time, I thought it was making a relationship fun. But it wasn't actually making a relationship fun. It was just a headache constantly. And I thought if you weren't fighting, then you weren't actually in a relationship. And I realized, no, you could be in a relationship and not fight. But I think that came with time when you get older.
Yeah, for like, sure.
30s, you realize that. Like by the time you turn like 31, you're like, I want to just chill.
I turned 31 this year and I still want my whole summer, but I also like just the way that I approach any relationship now is really like, whether it's like family or friendships, and it's just like far more honest than I've ever been. And it's just, I like that. It's just easier. Like, it's just so much easier to be like, no, yes, I'm not going to like wait for you to like read my mind. I'm going to fucking tell you. And it's nice.
That's the way to be. Like, I am a firm believer, like, stop lying about yourself and what you want in a relationship, because eventually you'll get that lie and you'll be highly upset.
Yep. Yeah.
The truth always comes out. You might as well start with just being truthful in the beginning, give everyone kind of a heads up. Everyone can make an informed decision going into that. And that's my absolute one thing that I can't say, because I was lied to repeatedly, that I just need complete honesty. I don't care. Brutal honest. Give it to me. I can handle it. What I can't handle is someone lying or covering up just to kind of make their relationship like they think they're smoothing over things, but really you're just getting further invested into something that you think is something that it isn't, because that person's not being 100% with you.
How long were you in that relationship?
4.5 years. Too long to be in a But, you know, now I think I would skip time, like skip the amount of time spent with someone because I would see those red flags sooner. So that's hopefully like all we can do is like learn from that experience, apply it to the next one and try not to make the same mistakes.
True.
Yeah. We actually have our first segment is called 50 Shades of Brown. It's a dating segment where, Gordon, you get to answer questions that our listeners write in. So you get to give some sage wisdom. But today we have someone wrote in, I dated a guy for 6 months who was pretty flaky and until he told me that he can't commit. Then I find out he's going to get married 6 months later. Do you think he changed or just used that as an excuse to not be with me?
This happens so much, I feel like. I hear about this happen all the time. Gordon's laughing. He knows something we don't know.
He was with that other person the whole time, like 6 months.
Oh, is that what you think?
I shouldn't say nobody. From my experience, you don't hop into another relationship within 6 months and decide to get married unless it's Rihanna. No.
I've had a guy, I do agree, like, so I was dating a guy who did something kind of similar, but he didn't get married. He was like, oh, I just can't commit. And then like months later, like moved in with this girl. And then of course I was like, oh, they were together when we were together. And that like checked out.
They were.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She had asked me, I was like, I don't even know this person, but she like came up to me and she was like, when did you move from Boston? And I was like, like in December. And then she stormed out. And only later someone was like, oh yeah, like they were dating in December. And I was like, I did not know that and neither did she. But here you go.
Oh, wow. You guys just like blew my mind because I was just going to be like, maybe they were, maybe they're still a non-committal avoidant person and they just happen to find someone who isn't going to take them. Like, are you going to lock it down or what?
But
I don't know. He's like, no.
I don't know. I also think that like sometimes people are just like, all right, like I just don't want to be with you. And then they find someone that they want to be with.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe they're not necessarily lying. I mean, there's so many scenarios this could go, but I think it's important to, the first one, keeping in mind, hey, maybe they were with them. As someone who got cheated on, that really should be my first go-to to everything, but it's really the opposite. I'm still too trusting. I never want to think about someone cheating. I don't think someone's cheating. If they are, I want to know. Obviously, I don't want to be like oblivious to it, but I'm not going to assume that's the reason behind every person's like actions.
And that's not everyone's action. Like some people are very monogamous and just want one person. But like from my experience, I've met a ton of people, men and women, who like having multiple partners.
Just be open about that from the get-go. Like that's fine. 100%. That's totally cool if that's 100%. What you want. Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people are like, I know pride's not the word, but confident enough to be honest about wanting to be poly or polyamorous or just date multiple people.
Now that I think about it, when my ex brought it up, I was like, do you want to try dating other people? This is like also 4 years into the relationship. I didn't realize, it's because he already has been.
What did he say when you brought it up?
No, I was like, look, do you want to like either we break, like we're engaged? I don't understand. What do you want? Like, that's not who I am right now with you. Now, maybe with someone else, it could be a totally different scenario. But in that particular situation, I was like, no, I just want to be with you. I'm like, do you want to be with other people? But he was all like, I think you should be with other people too. I think that would make you happy. I'm like, oh, okay, wow, way to project. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. He was really pushing you.
I wish you were my couples therapist. I could have saved myself 6 months and like hundreds of dollars.
You know what's crazy? I've been going to therapy ever since I've been in college. And I've been, the reason I started therapy is because I was studying psychology in college. And our professors recommended that we go to therapy.
Yes.
So when I started, like, I went from never going to therapy to starting to go to therapy to like reaching a point where I'm like, oh, all right, this is who I am. And now, like, I don't try to help people. I just like, I really try to listen to people. And I think that's the biggest part.
Yep. Yeah. Wait, did you ever practice?
No, I never practiced. I was a, what was I? I worked as a like a group counselor in a home for people with special needs for 2 years. And then after that, I just dropped everything with that 9-to-5 and decided to do comedy full time. So it's nice. Like kind
when
of
was that?
Yeah.
How long ago?
That was about 10 years ago now. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That's great that you were able to find out like 10 years ago that's what you wanted to do. And I almost studied psychology too. Then I went to school to be a nutritionist because I like combining the counseling piece with like behavior of like how people eat, why they eat. So I'm still interested in that part. But yeah, it's hard to do like something that requires so much emotional like energy, like psychology, therapy, or taking care of someone, people with special needs or any 9-to-5 really, and do comedy, but especially something like that, I think that really requires you to be present and you can't just like kind of like phone it in.
Yeah. Sure. Have you, so you've been doing comedy 10 years, no full-time, like other side.
I've had great part-time jobs. Awesome. I would get, like when comedy wasn't going well for me, I would get a full-time job. I'm the person that would, if you ever had someone that showed up for a job for 3 months and then quit and they weren't a temp, that would be me. Okay. Where everyone would be like, hey man, he deserves a promotion. I've actually told people, don't promote me. I'm leaving next week.
So, okay. At least you do your job though. I thought, so yeah. you do your job well and then you're like, I'm peace out people now that I have enough money.
Yeah, like that's the one thing I do take a lot of pride in. Like if I have a job, I'm gonna work hard at it, I'm gonna understand it. I'm not gonna just flick around and grab a check. It's weird to sit somewhere for 6 hours and not actually do work because people will have expectations of you. So I would do the work, but it, like I would know in the back of my head, as soon as I get the right email, I'm going.
Oh, I love not doing work at work. Oh, I loved it. I did it so much. I did it for like 3.5-4 years at this one place.
This is what I'm literally doing right now. I was like, I have no meetings from 1 to 2. Let's do this.
I wrote so many jokes, so many jobs.
Wait, so as like things are opening up, like how have you been feeling about like comedy, about life coming back?
I've realized I've been doing more comedy than I thought I was doing. I first started the pandemic not taking any shows at all. I just sat in the house. I cooked a lot. And then like it went from cooking to like my friends go, hey, do you just want to talk on Zoom? And they was like, do you mind if I record it? And I was like, all right, fine. And then it went from that to I realized I was doing like 3 podcasts or friends podcasts a week. And then like people started hitting me up for virtual shows. And I'm like, all right, I didn't want to do any of that. I was super bummed out. I couldn't be out at shows. And then I realized, oh damn, I'm kind of doing shows at home like every other night, to a point that I realized, oh, I bought a new iPad, I had to buy a mic, I'm getting paid for like these virtual shows. I'm like,
yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, so I was like, yo, this is actually okay. And then I did my drunk Black history show from my apartment, which I didn't think I could do, and we did it. And we had over, the first show had over 100 people, the second time we did it online had over 250. So we're like, oh shit, we actually could work and
that's
still do
so
shows
dope.
So like, yeah,
everything has changed and adapted. I'm like really impressed with like the comedy community of like going from outdoors and virtual shows and doing whatever that we can to like keep it up. And like we've mentioned multiple times, it's okay if you haven't done anything and you just stayed home and took that time and not did any comedy. But yeah, it also, yeah, I realized I was also accidentally doing more virtual stuff and virtual comedy during.
I think like it's crazy like how adaptable people are. And that was like, that's obvious, especially like people of color constantly. So like, I think like doing all the virtual shows and also like finally was getting paid, and I got paid a good amount for some of the shows where I was like, oh, wow.
More than in person on a lot of these virtual shows. And you're like, oh, I guess everyone else is just sitting at home, or all these corporations that have money and couldn't throw a party. Where like, I've done some corporate shows too, and those have been really nice.
So many corporate shows.
So, yeah. Oh, God bless them.
Yeah. It's weird in the beginning because I didn't think that it was going to work out like that. I thought that I was just going to be sitting at home twiddling my thumbs, which I did. And then like there were like people like the weirdest thing I had to do was I was actually getting booked to do outdoor gigs out of state. So I had to make sure I've been tested for COVID over 23 times since testing was available. So I don't fear the test at all. I think I encourage everyone to do it. So it's been a blessing. Luckily, I haven't been, you know, coming down with anything. So I'm
Are you getting vaccinated soon?
Oh, full vaccinated already. Woo!
Okay, great. So you're ready for your whole summer, the summer of Gordon. Yeah.
Ladies,
you hear that?
Everybody getting tested.
He listens. He will talk about your period. And he's fully vaccinated.
I was wondering, I was like, wait, did they invite me on because they knew I date brown women or is it just?
It's an added bonus now that we know.
I think at the Creek for Power Hour, I think you had mentioned it one time. Yeah. And I was like, and that's when we were like thinking podcasts, I was like, we've got to get Gordon on.
And we're like, hello, Gordon.
Yeah. I've been the secret boyfriend. I've had to.
I was about to say also, let's
definitely.
Yeah. What was that like?
It is. I used to do a joke about it. I used to say like dating a brown girl is like basically when you take her out, like you have to plan in advance. She has to tell her friends, hey, I'm going to say we're at the library together, but I'm really going out with my boyfriend, this, that, and third. There's so many layers to the story just for a 4-hour date. And it felt like I was kidnapping her. I was like, this is not cool. She was like,
she lived with her parents in the same city as her parents, with her parents. See, that's tough. Yeah. If I still were living with my parents.
Oh, man. So, all right. Yeah. So I used to have to like drive like 5 blocks from where she lived and like literally just slow down as she jumped in the trunk as we drove away.
Wait, you live in Jersey too, right, Gordon? Yeah, Jersey has so many like brown people.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of brown folks.
You got to go to the New York City brown girls because they have... Because
they're all like, fuck her parents. Done living like this.
Yeah, and they'll eventually, you'll still never meet their parents, but at least
that's not going to happen, but at least you can like freely go out with them.
Yeah, I've had that happen once. She was like, are you ready to meet my mom? Oh, wait, I know. I actually met my Bengali ex's mom and we had like a weird interaction because she asked me to come over and help with like the house and moves and stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. And I came over and her mom didn't know I was a boyfriend. She came over and she tipped me and she felt so embarrassed. She was like, what?
Oh, no.
At least you made money. Hey, that's a successful meeting in my book. You didn't get murdered by a person's brown parents and you made money. That's pretty nice. That's a win.
That shit is wild, bro. Like it takes is so
hard. I mean, every boyfriend I've had has been a secret, even if they were Arab or Muslim. Or it's just like I don't want my parents like knowing about it. And then I can't imagine like if I was like bringing home. Well, now I don't give a shit who I bring home, but before I'm sure I would have like been cautious and trying to. The only thing I can compare it to is when I lived in Palestine.
My mom gave up.
So your mom gave up on.
Yeah, on me bringing anyone home. So she'd be thrilled. She'd be like, oh my God, a man.
Yeah. A breathing, living thing.
Like I caught, like,
person, she, thank you.
My mom's always like, she's always like, you hang out with these boys and you play sports and you still, like, you can't find anyone. And I'm like, exactly. I hang out with these boys. It's like, I learned, I was like, they're not worth it.
Oh, man.
What about your family? Are they cool, open? Do they have any expectations bringing home a certain type of person?
No, I don't bring home a lot of people. But when I do, my family's very opening, like open and embracing. So once they meet you, they see you as a member of the family.
Oh, nice.
So,
that's really nice.
Yeah. Because like once you come over, it's always a big deal because like my mom's born on Christmas. So it's only the holiday. If you come over for that, we're celebrating her birthday and Christmas. So you're there for two celebrations and you're meeting everybody in this big day. So my dad's West Indian. He's Guyanese. So our family is very open and fun. And if you get to meet them.
Guyanese people are the best. They drink so much.
Oh my God, so much rum.
So much rum. My roommate in college was Guyanese, and I used to go to her family parties, and her dad used to be like, like, marry one of the cousins. And there was like 20 or 30.
Oh my God. Guyanese women. I used to work with a Guyanese woman. Oh, they're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous. Yeah.
My whole family. So like, everyone looks so diverse in my family. We have, everyone's on this like color spectrum. Like you just continue. Oh my God. I love that.
That's cool. Yeah. So they don't, they're not like, you gotta, you know, bring home a black woman or someone.
No. If you come to our family reunion, it looks like a model UN. It is so insane how part of my family is Haitian, French Canadian, Colombian. Who am I forgetting? Basically white in this country. It's just everybody is a part of this. So it's just.
Oh, that's awesome. Wild.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's lucky for the white person dropping in and getting a little culture.
But they do feel very good. They walk around like Chet Hanks. They have too much fun.
That's why I had to stop dating white people, because I was like, you're getting too cocky right now. I was like, you don't have to. Nope, absolutely not.
Way too comfortable.
They start learning the language, because like people want to like, I've had like white dudes try to learn like Urdu, and it's just like, please stop, please.
Oh, that's so painful.
I do teach them inshallah and mashallah, just so it's like, that's like the two things. So I'll be like, say that. Everything else, no.
I teach them, I want to fuck. I feel like that's the first thing.
But that's why they got to say inshallah after. I want to fuck. Inshallah.
Inshallah, I want to fuck. Oh, God. It's also Ramadan. We're going to hell. I know. Can you tell I still have this guilt? I'm like, oh, no. It's the holy month. Oh.
Oh, my.
God forgives.
But we actually have a segment about white people. I think you would be a great addition for. So it's called Keeping Up with the Caucasians. Yeah, this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color also do these things. So we'll see how guilty you are, how much the white people have infiltrated your house and home. So we've got different categories for you to choose from. I'm going to read them out loud and then tell me which one you want to go with. So we've got food, pop culture, activities, style, phrases or sayings, and miscellaneous.
Let's go with, you know, I'm feeling lucky, miscellaneous. Let's go with that.
Ooh, a betting man. Okay. Let's see. Did you used to get grounded as the only form of punishment, let's say?
As the only form? No, it was a combination. It was you got beat and then you got grounded.
Then you can't move. So then by virtue of not being able to move your body, you're grounded. Yeah. I've never, ever gotten just like, you go to your room, young lady, and I'm taking away your TV. It's like you get slapped around, beat up, and then they forget about it by the time. Like there's been no 2-week grounding or I'm taking away your car. It's like you get fucked up so badly that you won't do anything again.
Yeah.
They beat you. But they beat you and then they realize they need you to do something.
Yeah, you can't be grounded. Like, go pick up your brother from school. Go do this. Go do that. Go blah, blah. You can't be grounded. Go clean the kitchen. You can't be grounded.
Also, there's no like like I didn't have a TV in my room or anything that was mine. Everything was like, it's shared by the family. So there's nothing like taking away from me. It was just like I'll beat you up and then you could go play outside. But
yeah.
So like my mom would like literally like slap me, be like, all right, like you can play outside, and then be like, all right, go to your aunt's house, pick up this, this, and this. If you don't bring it back, I'll slap you again.
That's the thing. I think they get the rage out immediately and it's just one quick, like, just like rain of terror that comes on you. And then they forget because they got it all out. I can't imagine like being in trouble 2 weeks later for the same thing, because I just like went through hell for it for like a day. And that's enough punishment. That one day of punishment is enough for those 2 weeks and more.
Most people I know, like white people I know, when they got grounded, it was a buildup to seemingly their parents apologizing for grounding them. It was like, you're grounded for 2 weeks. Then 2 weeks go by and they're like, well, for 2 weeks, you didn't go out. So I saved up this morning and bought you a bike. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's like, thank you that is just... here's your gift. Here's your grounding coming out day gift.
That says a lot about
here's a new
people.
Nintendo.
Yep.
When white people apologize, they're like, yeah, so where's my gift now? So I guess that does.
Like, oh, that makes sense. I don't think my mom's ever apologized to me. Like,
no,
I she just changes the topic. Even if she's wrong, she'll just like, after beating me, she'll be like, so do you want me to make you food?
After, as an adult, I once told my mom, I was like, you know, like there was a lot of things that like were like fucked up that like happened, and she just laughed, and I was like, yeah, this was a conversation.
This was really beneficial.
And then like later she apologized. She was like, oh, she was like, you know, when I was like in Pakistan, we never like talked about these things. So she was like, I'm getting used to it. But like, I just remember the initial reaction. She was like, no, I didn't. And then just laughed. It's like, oh, okay.
My mom does that quite a bit. She won't apologize, but she'll try to spin it. So she's like, you benefited from what I did.
Right. Like, now you've learned your lesson, right?
Yeah. My cousin used to steal like booze from the house, and she used to accuse me. I was like, Mom, I don't drink. It's not me. Believe me. And like, I think, yeah, last year she found out, like 20 years passed. And she found out it wasn't Gordon. It was my cousin the whole time. She went, oh, well, you don't have a drinking problem now. So good. Okay. All right. I'll beat it out.
This whole time you were accused of being like the alcohol thief, got in trouble for it. And then all they can say is, oh, well, I guess that wasn't you. Oh, oops.
I used to take the fall for my cousins all the time. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was the one kid that just like, all right, what's the worst that can happen? They're going to beat us? Let's go. And they used to be like, no, we can get beat. I'm like, yeah, but that happens either way. So let's get it over with.
If you're going to do the crime, you might as well do the time. If you're going to do the time, might as well do the crime. That's what, like, if you're going to get in trouble. That's how I felt about boys. Like, my older brother would, like, watch me like a hawk and be, like, you know, a little, like, narc that would tell my parents anything. So he would always like tell my parents about me like hang out with boys and stuff. And I wouldn't be doing anything, but my parents would just like hear that and see that, and I'd get in trouble. And then I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. If all this time they're just gonna already like punish me and think I'm doing shit, then I might as well start doing shit. But I didn't learn that until I moved out of their house. So retroactively, this is for them, okay? This is for that time I got in trouble when I was 15 for taking a picture with a boy.
Yeah, I grew up with like crazy cousins in the same house, and they would chase people in the neighborhood with knives and like weapons. So honestly, like at some point my mom was like, at least my kids aren't doing that. And like we would get into like fights where we were like about to kill each other. And those were the times where it was like, all right, like we don't want the cops to come. So like now, like I'll beat you so you don't do that again. Or like when I would like talk back to my uncle, because I'd be like, you have no control over your kids. And then of course my mom would just be like, can't say that. And I was like, they were chasing me with a knife.
Oh yeah, you can't say shit. I know.
Can't say shit.
I could have gotten stabbed and told my uncle that, and my mom still would have been like, that's disrespectful.
Right? I know.
Well, Gordon, you pass.
You passed. Yeah. Have you dated a lot of white women? I'm curious.
No. An occasional hookup, but not serious dating at all. Like, I know this is going to sound crazy. I have yet to meet a white girl that I could have a relationship with, because
I feel the same.
Not to say that she doesn't exist.
As a friend.
They don't exist, but I'm just saying, like, it's a certain level of, and it's, yeah, certain level
privilege.
Of struggle I'm used to. Yeah, privilege. There it is. Yeah.
Lack of self-awareness around that privilege and how it affects the person that you're with.
I would love to date whoever is awesome and beautiful, but like sometimes you're sitting having a conversation with somebody, you realize, oh, this can't go beyond sex.
Yep.
The way I kind of like feel about it with dating someone totally outside of my culture, not even just outside my culture, but like completely, okay, let's say like a white person. Now it feels like you're kind of watching, like, you know, like a sequel to a movie, and they've never seen the first part, and they're just like trying to catch up, and you have to keep catching them up on what happened, what the character is, and like slavery and all of that and colonization. And then they're like, what? Wait, when? I fell asleep during that part. And then you have to like keep like telling them like what happened and catching them up to where you're at, where I feel like with other people of color, there's a shorthand and it's easier because they get it. They get the struggle a little bit more. Not to say there's not like white people, but then there's like white people try too hard to get the struggle and you're like, shut up. Okay. Like I don't need a history lesson in my own culture.
I've attracted both kinds. It's always rough when we both realize, oh, this can't go any further than into a relationship because we both like, nah, you're cool as a person, but nah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not spending my life like dealing with like explaining. Yeah. I'm not. I was a teacher for years. I stopped doing that for a reason. So I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Well, Gordon, this was such a nice conversation. You're so awesome and wonderful. Thank
you. We'd love to chat and talk to you. Hopefully, we can all hang outside.
Oh yeah, like now that I would love to get you guys. Yeah. I'd love to get you guys on the Period Piece podcast because I think that would be really.
That'd be so fun.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, where can our listeners follow the podcast and follow you and hear more about your work?
You can find me at Baker Bone on Instagram and Twitter. I have a link tree on my Instagram and Twitter, and you can find my website, the links to all my podcasts. I have three as of right now. The Bad Advice Show. I have Period Piece, which is my own project by myself, where I interview a bunch of my friends, lady friends, about their menstruations and just life in general. And I also do Drunk Black History, which is going really well. So definitely check it out.
Everything's super entertaining and informative. I love it. And that's awesome. Guys, follow Gordon. Follow us at No Fly List Pod. Follow me at Ethereum.
And you can follow me at Amara Masuda.
Thank you.